This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on a Thursday evening, where I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael. And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Don't talk to me that way.
And it's been a long time, so I'd like to say good evening to Michael one more time.
Buster only joins us. How you doing, champ?
And one more time, good evening to Don.
Nice backpedal. Hamstrings must be pretty strong after that.
That's right. All right, so I'll give you guys a... I said before the break that yesterday I went on Twitter and I mocked the idea of those that think that Joe Rogan is, quote, so smart. And I'm not saying he's not talented. His career arc is incredible. His podcast levels, it's just incredible. The success of this podcast is revolutionary. And I enjoy him on UFC. However, I find his takes to be sometimes horrifying, and it worries me that people think he's so smart because a lot of his takes, I think, are brain dead. And a lot of guys, very angry, all dudes, very upset. And then I heard from a friend of ours privately who said, who felt I strongly got this take wrong. Any guesses?
Carlin? It's somebody we all know.
It's someone we all know. And the person wasn't saying they agreed with every one of his takes or anything like that, but is a hardcore fan, big fan of the show.
And
really,
our show?
We argued. I had to say, not of our show, friend of our show.
Okay.
But we had to end it with the very rare agree to disagree. Which you don't hear every day.
Friend of the show. Someone we all like and know
we all know it, very very personally. We all know this person very personally.
Really?
Three of us, all of us. Oh yeah, all of us do.
Wow.
All of us have this person's phone number. All of us have spent a lot of time with this person.
Does
a good amount
the person
of time.
Work here?
They have.
They have worked here. Bill Daughtry.
That is incorrect.
I've got his number. He used to work here.
I would just be shocked that Bill was a big Rogan guy. I don't know. It just would be hard for me to believe. Generationally, you're way off.
Give up.
No, I don't want to give up. This is fun.
There aren't that many guesses, honestly.
We know a lot of people.
But
think about
the show.
What I just.
But doesn't work here anymore.
All right, who am I? Here, I'll play a game of who am I.
Okay, please.
I have worked at 98.7 ESPN.
Okay.
I am known for work outside of work at 98.7 ESPN. I'm college educated. I am a mild-mannered, kind gentleman.
Ron Flatter.
I don't know who that is. I just said someone we know well. And I've
I would never. Listen, and I like the guy. I would never describe him as mild mannered.
I like Ron. Go ahead.
Who's Ron Flatter?
They just somebody we used to work with.
I don't even know the person. All right.
Dave Roberts?
I
have a phone number.
Michael, you only have one guess left. I also have my own podcast.
I was going to guess Justin Craig, but he doesn't have a...
He should, though.
Yeah.
I work in play-by-play.
Oh, my God. Ryan Rucco?
Don has won last one standing.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a big argument. Oh, yeah,
really?
We had a kerfuffle.
Well, you get a lot of people. A lot of people love Joe Rogan.
No,
I mean, it's not like Ryan's an outlier. I mean, a lot of people love him.
I don't follow Joe Rogan. I know the name. I know he's a comedian. Well, give me a take so I can kind of understand where we're coming from here.
Well, he signed a $100 million deal with Spotify, didn't he?
He's done quite well. He has a huge audience. No, the surprise here wasn't that he likes Joe Rogan. It was more just a surprise that we had a back and forth like that.
But what's give me a take? Ryan's give me an example of a take. Gentleman. I've got his Twitter up here. Would I see something?
No, I don't think you would. If you did some Googling, you'd see takes. It's hard to explain. To me, he's sort of like a college dorm room philosopher.
So did this get heated between you and Ryan? Did he raise his voice?
Well, we were tweeting. We were texting. He didn't go all caps or anything. But at one point, the strongest moment, I think, of this argument was he was talking about how great an interviewer he was and then referenced Howard Stern being a great interviewer. And I said, I'll be honest, I think Stern's an overrated interviewer as well.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said, you know what, Peter, I think it's time for you to recalibrate. Can you believe that?
I think
Rucco
he's right.
Told me I need to recalibrate.
And by the way, congratulations to Ryan and Cece. Their podcast goes over to Ringer and Spotify. It's going to be huge.
That's right. See, this was all a setup for a great plug that it's moved over to the Ringer. The Ringer with a big deal over at Spotify, and now that's where Ryan and Cece are. Where were they previously? Were they on their own?
No, they were somewhere. I think it's been... This is the third stop. It's actually moved up the ladder.
What kind of deal do they have? They kind of just keep... you're right. They have moved... This is the third home. Is it the second home? I think they were Indy, then they had a home, and now
right,
here.
Right.
Either way, congrats are in order. But I thought it was a funny conversation. But Don, do some Googling, and you'll find some takes, and you can have your thoughts.
Man, he's ripped. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he'd kill you if he heard you say this stuff.
Yeah, a lot of people wrote me and said, hey, it will kick your butt. He'll beat you up. I was like, well, that's not a fair argument. Who would argue against that? And then other people said, you're jealous. Well, yeah, who would argue that either? He's rich as can be. That doesn't mean I can't have the thought that his takes are bad. There are a lot of rich, successful people who I don't think their takes are stupid. God, you can't have an opinion anymore without anyone saying it's instantly hate.
Oh,
can't
really?
Some people just think
in?
Some people's takes are bad?
This just in?
Yeah, I know. I don't know why I took that. Yeah, this just in. If you have an opinion, everyone thinks you're just a hater and you shouldn't have an opinion.
Yeah, can we hit now, some sports now?
Thank you.
Well, I thought it was a really good game, though. But yes, another player for the Marlins has tested positive for COVID-19. The Marlins now have had 19 members, 17 players and two coaches of their traveling party, test positive. The Athletic was the first to report this latest positive. Had to mention that. I didn't want anyone to think it was someone else.
That's a lot of players, man.
That's a lot.
More than half.
Yeah, because it's 30, right? 30
yeah.
players.
And now the Phillies have two positive tests. Not players.
It's not fair.
No, I know. But it's a coach and a home clubhouse staffer. Both tested positive.
God hates
now,
me.
Now, Michael, you would probably
and
know
now
better than...
the word is that the series that's scheduled this weekend with the Blue Jays has been postponed.
Now, you would know better than Peter and I.
Sure.
Would the home clubhouse attendant have any interaction with the visiting clubhouse
attendant? I was about to say that. Yes, they would.
All right. So then that would explain that, and maybe the coach just got it another way, or maybe the coach had interaction, whether the touching the same thing or whatever. So I guess it's good news, bad news, right? It's bad news that two members of the Philadelphia team got it, but it didn't seem like anybody like on the field got it. So what specific contact would the two clubhouse attendants have that you think where they could have gotten it? Is it?
Well, I mean, like a home clubhouse attendant could just talk to, you know, sometimes they cross over and they work together. I mean, the visiting guys are the visiting, but you know, at Yankee Stadium, the home clubhouse guy, he'd been here forever, is Rob Kukuza. The visiting clubhouse guy is his brother Lou. There's definitely could be a crossover.
Well, Major League Baseball is now adjusting their COVID-19 protocols in wake of this outbreak. There was a memo sent to teams on earlier this week, and Major League Baseball encouraged players not to leave hotels in road cities except for games. They mandated the use of surgical masks instead of cloth masks during travel and required every team to travel with a compliance officer who ensures players and staff properly follow protocols. They're investigating the cause of the Marlins outbreak while the team is assessing how to fill a roster. Now, one thing that bothers me here about this, they encouraged players not to leave hotels, but mandated the use of surgical masks in place of cloth masks. What do you think is more likely to lead to a coronavirus outbreak? The mask level not being good enough, or the players going to do God knows what when they're
inside? See, but I'm going to tell you why. Because everybody wants to take the easy shot at Manfred. He can't implement any of this without the Players Association agreeing. So the players have obviously told Tony Clark, no, you can't like tell us that we're in jail, that we can't leave the hotel. They don't want it. They don't want that to happen. Otherwise, don't you think he would do it?
All right. Then there's other routes you can take. I feel like that there's some sort of force field or any shield that Manfred can use. Well, I got to deal with the Players Association so that my hands are tied. Well, you know, how about this? Go be a leader. Go to your owners and say, listen, we can't touch the players. I'm trying to convince Tony Clark he won't bend. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it on you and your teams. If any of your players get in trouble, I'm taking picks. I'm fining the organization. And make the organization now discipline their own players.
But the organization can't either, Don. Everything has to go through the union. An organization can't just willy-nilly discipline a player. It has to be collectively bargained.
I just can't believe in the situation that we're in that a player just enjoys their freedoms so much that you can't get them to say, listen, you can't go out to the club. You can't do it. Not for the next 3 months. Sorry, when the baseball season is over, go to town. We don't care. But you're not bringing this sport down. And if I'm an owner or a general manager or a manager saying, I'm not getting draft picks taken away, I'm not getting fined. So, guys, do something here. We're trying to win a championship. We're trying to get through a season here.
And I think they've all had that discussion, Don, but unless there is a ramification for leaving...
Right, but there's got to be...
Didn't I tell you that this was going to be the issue?
But then I think, where's Tony Clark in this? I understand that you take care of your players, but he also understands what could be lost here, the money that can be lost here, the opportunities that can be lost here. How do you not tell your players, guys, we're just asking, it's all going to be over at the end of September. Because a lot of teams aren't even going to go to the playoffs. Are they going to get eliminated in like three straight in the first round? You're going to get to go home in the first week of October. It's already August. We're not asking for that much. My God, it's just incredible to me.
Ken Rosenthal just tweeted out, MLB and the union making progress on deal that would allow for doubleheaders consisting of 2 7-inning games. Sources tell him and Jason Stark, but it would be for this season only. Parties believe more doubleheaders will be necessary as schedule is adjusted. Ideas is to preserve pitching.
Well, I'll tell you, Michael.
Your timing is impeccable, Michael. It's my next story.
I could see that be something that can end up carrying over. Because I would think the players would go for that, right? you know, instead of having their off days taken away, maybe they'd be more apt to play doubleheaders if it's just 14 innings as opposed to the potential 18 innings. I think the players would go for that.
Not the relievers. There's two less innings for two fewer innings for relievers to pitch. Yeah, that costs a job.
You say that, but how many doubleheaders do you play? And really, most pitchers only go six innings anyway, and maybe even less. Maybe those situations now, Michael, it's an excuse to take the starting pitcher out earlier. Wins don't mean anything anymore. So maybe on those doubleheader days, if you got a pitcher, maybe that's the day you decide to have an opener, and even more relievers get a chance to pitch. That's what I think might end up happening.
Well, yeah, they're trying to figure it out. That was the story I had, Michael, was Major League Baseball mulling over seven-inning doubleheaders.
I'm amazed, though. We're a week into the season, and they're talking about this now. I'm just amazed. They didn't think that there'd be doubleheaders. It's like, and you can't say they didn't put a lot of effort into this, Don, what you said earlier. They have a 113-page protocol. I mean, it's exhaustive, but I think there's some things they didn't expect.
Like doubleheaders? Yeah. They're also considering a mercy rule.
Like Little League.
That's right. And also, after three strikes, you get one shot with the tee.
My son is doing so well off the tee. It's unbelievable.
Yeah?
Oh, my goodness.
He's catching big contact?
Callie is, too. It's amazing.
Have you tried it, Michael?
Have tried what?
Hitting off a tee? I don't know whether it's because we never did it. We never grew up doing it. I find myself like the actual tee goes farther than the ball.
Oh, yeah, and he hits it right. They both hit it right on the ball. Like if I hit it, I'll hit a lot of the post.
You guys didn't use tees?
No.
I do like Bigelow tee, though.
But in baseball practice, you guys didn't use it?
No.
No.
Really?
Always a pitcher or a coach. There was never a tee.
Oh, by the time I was in high school, there was off toss and tees. Tees were used a lot, too.
You want to have a great tweet by Steve Kerr? Would you like that in ENN?
Of course.
Sure, I'll take it.
While the rest of the world has been taking strict measures to stay safe and healthy, we've all been sitting around in a big circle just mask debating. Stop mask debating, everybody. Just wear a damn mask and we can get this thing under control.
Topical?
A little bit
funny.
Risque.
I like it a lot.
He's a smart man.
He really is. Smarter than
most. All right, guys.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I gotta go.
The
Michael,
NFL,
well,
NFL.com. Yeah, you're fantastic. Have a great call.
Bye, buddies.
So long. NFL Network ranked the top 100 players, Don.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit of controversy here. I'm assuming you've heard the controversy.
I have not heard. I'm dying to hear.
Lamar Jackson, the number one player on the NFL Network's top 100 players of 2020 list. The number two player, I'll even play along for Lamar Jackson, even though I completely disagree.
Sure.
Number two is Russell Wilson. Number three is Aaron Donald.
Okay.
And Patrick Mahomes is number four.
Now, what's the reasoning? Other than just getting places to talk about it.
Right. Or being that guy, as you would say.
Yes. That makes... So where's Watson?
I don't know. Let me see if I can see the rest of the list here. Because the big controversy was about Mahomes being number four, and Mahomes putting on social media an emoji of him taking notes. So taking note that he is that. After Mahomes at four, Michael Thomas, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, DeAndre Hopkins, Gilmore from the Patriots, and Henry from the Titans.
Listen, the running backs had a tremendous impact for Tennessee. I mean, Henry was tremendous, but I'm not putting that many
hard to argue, I think, against
10.
McCaffrey and Henry.
I know.
Well, wait, but it's only two.
But yeah, it's too many as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, Don McCaffrey sort of. McCaffrey might be a generational kind of talent. And Henry was, I mean, just kind of single-handedly dragged the team to the playoffs.
No, I know, because their quarterback was not very
Michael
good.
Thomas had earth-shattering numbers.
Well, Michael Thomas.
Either way, though, let's hear from
Hopkins,
Lamar Jackson.
I don't have an issue necessarily with anybody, but I just think that if you've got Patrick Mahomes, who's a Super Bowl champion, a singular talent, gun for an arm, the ability to be mobile, you know, not number one, just blows me away. And have Russell Wilson, who I think is tremendous, and he was probably the single reason they made the playoffs last year. But at this stage of his career, to have him above Patrick Mahomes is just ridiculous. He's not number two.
No, he's very good, but he's not number two. Let's hear from Lamar for a second, shall we?
Sure.
Can we?
Sure.
Lamar was asked what it was like working out with Antonio Brown this offseason.
Around us, he was a great guy. You know, you don't really see anything going on at all. You know, he cooled down to earth guy, you know, and he's passionate about the sport of football. Like, when he was working, you can tell, like, this man is, he going to go, like, 24/7. And after the workout, he still went and lifted. Like, he already, prior to the workout, he lifted. We go out there and go to throwing routes. After that, them guys went and lifted some more. I'm like, dang, this guy is no quit with him. So it's like, that's the type of guy we need in our locker room. And I feel like that we want to win. And I can tell in him, he want to win. He want to play ball.
He has the ability, Peter.
Wouldn't count on it. Didn't Lamar? Oh, yeah.
But he leads you to believe that he can be that guy before he ends up being your teammate. Like, he does a great job of convincing you that everything's okay.
Yep. It's very strange. And I don't see AB coming back anymore. I did. But I think the ship has sailed. Keeping the NFL for a second, and it's controversial players, maybe on a different level. Jamal Adams, officially a Seahawk. Let's hear from Jamal about being in Seattle.
I prayed on it. I prayed on it hard, and I asked God, you know, to place me where I needed to be, whether that was to go back to New York or whether that's to be traded. And this is my calling, man. I'm here to stay, and I'm excited to be a Seattle Seahawk, like I said, and I'm really overwhelmed, but at the same time, man, it's so surreal to be around a great organization like Seattle, and to be coached by legendary coaches, Hall of Fame coaches, playing with Hall of Famers, from Russ to Bobby, KJ, Bruce Irvin, Quandre, the list goes on and on, man. I'm just excited to be here. I'm here to help, and you know, I can't wait to get out there in front of the 12s.
May I say something?
God helped him. Go ahead, Don.
I don't want to get into all that, all right? I'm not an overly religious person. I do believe in God, and I don't begrudge anybody wanting to say that God helped them get to where they're supposed to be. But if you are a believer in God and you are religious to the point where you're saying that God made the decision for you, then I would think that that means deep down inside that you're a good person and you do the right things and you act the right way. Is calling somebody a liar what God would do? Is saying you don't like your coach publicly something God would do? If you're that religious and if God really guided you, wouldn't God probably advise you to kind of stay off social media? Keep your problems to yourself and deal with them privately instead of publicly. So when you don't really act that godlike, I don't really necessarily believe God had a lot to do with your decision. Am I wrong to say it that way?
No, I was struck by the same thing. You know, like, it's hard to say. Listen, you're allowed to believe in God and think whatever you want about your relationship with God. But the idea of being like, oh, you know, God just made the choice for me. When you willfully pushed your way out of town, that's the part that makes it weird for me is, like, I mean, I guess you're saying God is who told you to take that approach. But, I mean, he completely forced the Jets' hand. This wasn't some random act
that happened
out of nowhere. You completely engineered it and forced it.
Right.
Which is fine. Do you? But
no, I guess the retort would be from him. Well, listen, I prayed on it that the Jets would give me the $20 million. They didn't, and I had to resort to this. But I would just think that if you were advised by a religious person, whether it was a priest or a rabbi or whatever, would their advice to you be, well, you probably should call out the coach. How about this? Call out the general manager and call him a liar.
Wait, what's that poster? Rabbi Khan? What is that?
Completely not believe your owner and throw him under the bus when he's accused of some racial things and some anti-woman things. Just completely throw him under the bus. I can't imagine that would be the advice you would give from somebody that was very religious and guided by God. That's all I'm saying.
It's a little strange. But he said he wanted to be a Jet for life. Now, apparently, he wants to be a Seahawk for life. So, we'll see. The Buffalo Bills sent their rookies home from the team's facility Thursday in response to 5 positive coronavirus tests, they said in a statement. Under the NFL's training camp mandate, players must register 3 negative tests in a 5-day span in order to enter the facility. And the teams are not required to shut down their facility for a positive test, but the Bills chose to minimize risk and sent the players home for the day.
Well, I have my plan on a pseudo bubble for the NFL when we come back, if you're interested, because I know I was asked.
I've been waiting all day for it.
And Michael didn't go to it, and we had a lot of other things going on. But I would like to reveal. We can give it a little more detail tomorrow if you want, in more of a prime spot. But I would like to give you my point, and I think you may be receptive. I don't think Michael would be, but I think there's a way to make this work.
I'm very excited to hear that next, and I'll end ENN tonight with a meaningful day in sports history for both of us.
Okay,
on this day. Back in 2005.
On behalf of Mario Lemieux and the entire ownership group, Pittsburgh Penguins select from Rimouski in the Quebec Major Junior League, Sidney Crosby.
Of course, 4 years later, at 21 years old, Sid the Kid becomes the youngest captain in NHL history.
Do you remember?
To win the Stanley Cup.
Now, they had a lottery because there was no 2004-05 season because of the lockout. So they had a lottery where literally everybody had a shot at getting the first overall pick. Do you remember the team that had the second pick where he could have gone?
Well, I don't remember what year Ovi got drafted.
Ovi got drafted the year before.
Got it.
So they ended up going into the NHL the same time, but Ovi had been drafted the year before and there was no season. So their rookie years ended up being the same.
I don't know, Dom. Tell me.
The Anaheim Ducks got the second overall pick and selected Bobby Ryan from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, who's had a very, you know, good career. He's still going. It's just not nearly as good as Sidney Crosby, but that's how close. And you know what? If you don't get Sid, Mario probably doesn't come back because they got to play together, which was great and
incredible.
Everything turned around from a team that was facing bankruptcy to now probably maybe in the top 5 most popular teams in the NHL, and it's made Pittsburgh the market where believe it or not, I've talked to people from Pittsburgh who say the Steelers are 1, the Penguins are 1A.
Yeah, I mean they're incredibly popular there. Incredibly popular, and man, I can't believe that he's been around this long. Like 2005 was, I've been watching videos from that Tyson footage. I've been watching videos from 2005. It was that's a real different time in life. I mean, it's the difference from being around in 2000 and 1985. He's been there for a minute. It's been a hell of a run. Three Stanley Cups to show for it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.